I just rugged. How you guys doing? I'm gonna send this over to Scott. Hey, what's up?
Do I have you, sir, or am I still muted?
Yeah, I got you. There you
go. I don't do spaces, man. This is my first one. I'm very excited.
Awesome. I was trying to think of a good title, and 5 minutes before the space, I thought of Crypto Inferno.
That's not bad, dude.
Yeah, you got the radio voice. You could probably lead us into the show.
I could use my catch-all. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, cats and kittens, welcome to the Cosmos Joe Show here on Twitter Spaces, and let's give everybody a big round of applause. I don't have my sound effects button, dude. I'm nothing without a live audience.
Brought to you by Kikkoman traditionally brewed less sodium soy sauce, available in 296 milliliter bottles.
And also brought to you by Smoke Wagon private label single barrel malt rye whiskey, because that's what I'm drinking tonight. But all right,
I just finished off my Valentine's Day gift this week. It was a Great Jones New York bourbon. It actually was pretty good.
Nice. Anything that says bourbon, dude, I'm probably a fan. I just haven't really gotten into it. Yeah. All right. So how do we do it, man? How do you do spaces, dude?
We do cats, kittens, everybody. Let's flood our bags, and then we'll pump Jackal to the moon.
Jackal doesn't need it, man. Jackal's going to get there organically. It's kind of the thing with the actual. It's just a good product, dude. I've been sitting here having a go at the Iagon people that are over there. They put up a big post. They announced that we have partnerships with Amazon Web Services and Microsoft and Facebook and all these other places where I've spent like 30 years of my life working. Like, dude, you don't need you to use those. Anybody can go and sign up for these. You know, I mean, it's brutally expensive. If you actually want a quality product, it's going to cost you. But there's no way that you can make that work over there. And there's no way that they're going to put their name on a dotted line with a little DeFi, with a little Cardano DeFi storage platform that is as centralized as they come. It's just not going to happen. I live at these places, dude. 30 years of my life I spent standing up those buildings. I am familiar with the industry. And they're not reaching out to Iagon by any way, shape, or form, man. You've got to, you have to, hey, you know what? Easy. All right. I've been sniffing around Cardano a lot.
They have to have something, man. Right? They're like the restaurant that's been open for like 5 years, but all the windows are blacked out. You're like, there has to be at least some breadsticks in that restaurant right now.
Nah, man. They turn into massage parlors, man. That's where you go for the rub and tug. Oh, my God. You know what? I've been spending some time around there a little bit, dude, and I've seen some actual interesting products. You know, that's my focus, man.
I know the product that you're not interested in is the Eternal Wallet. Okay, I saw you tweet about that.
Oh,
dude, that's their pride and joy. And the reason why I left Cardano in the first place is because the wallets were so bad. I said, you know what? It's probably easier for me to learn how to run a node from scratch with no tech background than it will be for me to figure out how to get my tokens out of this wallet.
I'm still struggling with it, man. And I have to get savvy on it. If I'm going to make videos, you know, when I make videos, I'm doing buys, I'm doing sells. I'm not the Kohl's, which is the stupidest term I think I've ever heard. Key opinion leader. That is so, it's so 1984, man. The fact that they'd even try to do that. But
I was going to do a video a while ago, like just pick three Cardano wallets and review them and just tell my story of how, how I just couldn't do transactions anymore on Cardano. So I just left all my tokens there and went to other networks. And then I was like, you know what? The last time I did a Cardano video, they did like a little Discord powwow, and then they came on to YouTube one night and they all thumbs down like 80% of my videos and put comments on them. And it didn't really affect me at all. But I was like, this is what these people do. Like, is this like a bunch of children, or is this a bunch of like pathetic 50-year-old men that still live at home? I don't know. But it's tough to get by in that ecosystem, like speaking your mind and stuff, because they're very they flock to like the queen bee, whoever it might be that week, and they just defend blindly every piece of garbage that they've ever put out from that chain.
Well, I don't want to say that's specifically a Cardano thing, dude. That's an air.
No,
that's
a crypto. But Cardano probably has the biggest community of organic wallet holders. I bet you Cardano's in like the top three. Like, I bet you it's like Bitcoin, ETH, and Cardano for like wallets. So they have a lot of people.
I'm happy to capitulate the point, man. Like, the one thing I was looking at over here is Vera, because I happen to believe that a DeFi, decentralized, even in any kind of way, shape, or form, social media platform could conceivably be successful. So I've been looking out for them. The last one I saw was one that was actually being built on Fetch, and they just kind of abandoned the project. But I see one spun up over there right now. Now, this is the list of Cardano wallets if I want to try to connect
There's
to this
a lot.
Site.
Yeah.
NAMI, which I don't
NAMI's
know. Eternal,
bad.
Which is the only one Eternal is the only one I'm familiar with. Yoroi?
That's the worst Flint. Wallet you will ever use on any blockchain. That's the one that's made by the Cardano Foundation.
Oh, that's wonderful. How about Flint? You familiar with Flint?
I heard that Flint and Vesper are actually good, but I left before they were developed.
Maybe I'll give them a go. Typhon, Giro Wallet, Card Wallet, Newfee, NuFi, and Lace. Now, those are all the wallets that listed that you can use to connect to the site. All of them say not available with the exception of Eternal. And I tried to connect with the Eternal wallet because I do have one, dude. For Igon, I had to review their storage platform. So I had to sign up and give them money and all that. That was silly, but that's the only one I have. It says Eternal is available. I click on it and nothing happens whatsoever. So
yeah, you can't
I don't
tell
know
when the wallet's actually connected to the site. That was the problem like 2 years ago. And then what happens with that wallet, and I think because Cardano's UTXO, like Bitcoin, once you like use a certain amount of UTXOs, the wallet gets jammed up so bad that you can't do any transactions. And you have to like send money to you have to make a new wallet, send money to that wallet from an exchange, and then send that wallet like a penny of that to your wallet, and it like fixes the UTXO somehow. And I had like, I don't know, like a couple $1,000 worth of NFTs just like stuck in a wallet. And I was like, you know what? I'll just come back to this in a year when they fix it. So hopefully they did. I'll just fire it up with one of these newer wallets eventually and just try to sell my NFTs. But Cardano used to be like number three or number four in NFT volume. And now they're like doing 50% of Stargaze's volume, which is crazy. If you look at the rankings of NFT platforms, Stargaze is in the top 10, but it's very far from the top three. And then Cardano is like way below that. So
I'll completely take your word for it, brother. You know, I'm not an NFT guy, man. I've never pretended
off.
To be an NFT guy.
You're better off.
That's a level of misery I don't think I really need to talk about. We do have somebody for Fight Club is actually going to be on the show tomorrow night. So
nice.
I don't. Bell's going to do the interview, man. I don't know what to say about this one. I'm going to get it. Okay. So you made pixels. And I give you money, and then what happens here? Or people, you know, it's like stamp collecting, man. I don't really do that either. But you know, I get it. The problem. And let me be real clear here. Why I'm looking heavier at ADA? I'm going to go completely off the reservation here, dude, and just state that innovation, actual innovation, in Cosmos ecosystem is dead. I do not see any new projects coming online, coming on board that I have the least bit of interest in. They're all just regurgitated versions of magic internet money. And you see what happens to everything when the market goes bad, dude. I just don't want anything to do with that anymore. You know, you're more in tune with this because I know you do your research. What are the hot new products, the hot new level of innovation that's coming out on Cosmos?
Oh, I don't know. I my strategy, like like towards the end of the summertime was to find low market cap tokens that could go up even if they weren't that good, just based on like what their sales pitch was. And yeah. I did okay with one AI token. I got like a 20x and I sold 2/3 of it on the way up. And then it actually shows a lot of strength when the market pulls back. So I'm going to hold it. And I don't know, I'm just looking for these small cap tokens that I could follow close enough to sell before I get dumped on, you know? But there's a lot of little ones in Kujira.
But this is the issue, though, brother.
Oh,
this
I know, but there's not much the selection issue out there. Like, I just want to sell pumps and then bring that profit over to Bitcoin or something like that, like something a little more, something that I wouldn't mind holding and not looking at the price for like months at a time. So it's
every 3 minutes because the volatility is so insane.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, everybody, Cosmos dug themselves a hell of a hole. And the only chart that I show that I'm going to show on the show anymore is the lifetime chart of Adam, because the lifetime chart of Adam tells one hell of a good picture of the fact that this token, and I had a hell of a go at him this morning on my show. Fortunately, nobody really watches. We're not doing bad, man. We don't get a lot of.
I noticed that you're coming up better in the searches on YouTube, so you must be getting more activity and comments and whatnot, because I think that does help.
Oh, I don't know. I'm just doing a lot of them. Me and Bell are on. We were on like eight. We did like eight live streams last week. And dude, we do these for free. All right. We don't get paid to do any of these things here, man. It is just our time, because I think the real flex is going back into the cave after the others. And that's what I'm doing. Look, man, I've been incredibly successful in crypto. All right. It's worked out well for me. I've been trading in every market that exists for 30 years. And you pick up things along the way. You know, I mean, that's really it, is that you make a lot of bad decisions. You learn from them and you move on. But again, the only chart that I look up here on Cosmos anymore is the lifetime chart, because when we were looking at it this morning, and when it launched, it was like $4. And, you know, there's been a lot of volatility up as high as 40 and currently sitting at 8. Now, but this is something that launched in 2019, dude. So in 5 years in crypto, if you did nothing but hold that token, you 2x'd. You 2x. Now, I get it, man. Everybody said, well, that's really exciting, except there's just absolutely no way. That is one of the most underperforming OG tokens that I've seen out here. For God's sakes, Tron.
Yeah, but that's part of a pattern.
You would have sticked. I'm sorry.
I think that's part of a pattern, and I'm going to look a little closer, but I have like this idea that these older tokens that have foundations associated with them are going to underperform forever. And I'm going to put Cosmos, Cardano, Polkadot, Terra, the new Terra, and anything with like a big foundation behind it that just keeps adding employees and engaging in this weird, like, you know, environmental blockchain type stuff. I think that they'll always underperform from now on, because they squandered their first mover advantage so badly. Because there was no product, to your point, right?
But there's a couple other things. Yeah, one, there's no product. I mean, you're nothing but an idea. And the whole, you know, we're early. Guys, this was six, seven years ago.
I disagree with that.
Microsoft didn't take this goddamn long to develop. And somehow they managed to be a tech company and profitable. It's kind of weird. But
think about how fast we went from the iPods to iPhones. It's been less time. Right.
Oh, I know, yeah. Man. I know. And all of these OG tokens, your Cardanos, your Cosmos and everything, they're BlackBerry, dude. All right. They're BlackBerry. Do you own a lot of BlackBerry stock? Because if you did, you lost your fucking ass.
No.
They just never really evolved with the times, and these guys aren't doing it. Now, your original, you know, your ICO token holders and all these people, dude, they're having a ball at your expense. They're loving these things. We pulled up and we're looking through the validator sets over there on Osmo and Adam today. And the shocking amount of money that they pay out for that validator set versus the income that they're getting, because that's the one question that you just simply cannot ask of Adam. And for some reason, that's like the big taboo one. How much money is Adam earning? And there is literally no answer. Now, I've worked for a lot of major corporations in my life, but I've never worked for one that has a $3 billion valuation that doesn't know where the money's coming from. But for some reason, Adam is that thing. Now, we can, go back and forth on this all day, but the simple fact is the only thing that moves that number is more people buying it than selling it. So if you want more people to buy it, then you have to have some kind of value proposition for it. And I got the most engagement I ever got on a tweet when I basically said, Adam sucks. I had 35, 38,000 people saw that thing. I've never had that kind of engagement. I'm not that kind of coal. I love that.
That's the weirdest key opinion leader. Because it implies there are no facts. It just implies that people are just spouting off at the mouth, like opinions only, no facts. It's just a very weird, I don't know what you call it, like a moniker.
But it resonates well with the young investor. That's all it is, man, because if somebody's speaking well of it and they're popular, it certainly must be good. Now, people have been ravaging the financial markets based on that very concept forever. And it's not going to go away, man. This is just kind of the way it is. But, I just derailed myself. I'm sorry. This is where Bella, usually have to do this with the producer, dude. And she's talking in my ear saying, this is what you were talking about. And now I just forgot my point.
Happens to me all the time on my live stream. And I just stare at the wall for like a couple seconds.
I got it back. But for some reason, the taboo question that you simply cannot ask in anything having to do with Cosmos is how much value is this token accruing organically, not through people buying it and selling it? Because if its only value capture is people buying it and selling it, then it's a meme. Then it's a meme. Because it has no value accrual mechanism. But for some reason, you simply can't ask that. Now, I can look at all the staked tokens. I can multiply it by the APR on these tokens. And I can tell you how much it's costing them to maintain this validator set. And it is shockingly high. Shockingly. So what are you getting for this value that you're putting out into this validator set? What are you getting for this? What kind of value return are you getting for this? Because the Atom token itself is not capturing any value. Gas and governance. These are the things that we were laughing at 5 years ago. 5 years ago, it seemed reasonable. Oh, we get to vote on it. Now, you know goddamn good and well, there's no vote that's going to happen on Atom, on Cosmos chain, that the top 10 validators can't swing any direction that they want to swing it, period. That's it.
Yeah.
And you have a couple. If it's I think we could probably agree that it's really not governance. It's the illusion of governance. And if everybody's cool with that, then I am too, because I don't stake Adam. But right now, the only value capture that this thing seems to have, or the use case of Adam, based on the comments that I've gotten, by the way, which is learn to crypto. So apparently, if you lose money and you bitch about it, the only response you're going to get is learn to crypto. Gentlemen, I am an I'm an eight-figure crypto investor that started with zero. I think I got it. So I appreciate your concern. And it sucks that you're down $86 over the weekend. But when you're down seven figures plus, you have a right to bitch and not come back with these silly terms in. You need to learn to crypto. I think I got it. I'm just gripey because I was in a bad fucking project.
Can I hop in for a second about that?
Jump in.
What's up, Joe? So, a couple of things with Adam. I mean, Adam is the narrative location for airdrops, one. And two, it's not only up 2x, because you have to think of the staked valued tokens that you got. And then you also have to think about all the airdrops. So, like, you know, I have probably 6x to 10x on Adam just from the airdrops alone. And I'm not a big Adam holder anymore. Like, I've sold most of it, but like, you know, it has paid itself out over time. Just something to put out there. Like, I do agree with you though. Like, what is the point of it? I mean, really, you know, governance, but like, governance can have value in a sense of like a hub for pushing IBC or pushing, you know, the airdrop narrative, having a place to go to pull, to get the community that all stakes there, to get them onto your token. You know what I mean? Just some thoughts.
Yeah, no, I think if you're going to set up airdrop wallets, you should definitely have like 10, 20 Atom in every wallet. And what I see the trend lately is that a lot of projects are finding excuses not to airdrop to Atom, where it used to be a couple of years ago, you would only airdrop to Atom. And yeah, that definitely helped. What Scott, what you're saying is right about the validators. A couple of validators are going to run, have their way with the hub. It's clear that a lot of them are friends. You rarely see two validators really get heated in public, at least over props. And I'll tell a quick story about ThorChain's co-founder, Chad Barriford. I don't know if you guys know who that is. He's the co-founder of ThorChain, or core contributor, whatever he wanted to call himself. But he basically helped create ThorChain. It's a Cosmos chain, and they refused to enable IBC. So they took the open source Cosmos tech. They built a monster DEX that actually makes a ton of money with less liquidity than a lot of other DEXs need. I think that they said that they do like somewhere between like 4% and 6% of the Bitcoin, total Bitcoin volume on any given day. And he was criticizing the rest of the Cosmos chain because, number one, the validators are doxxed. Number two, the validators are all friends. And number three, the validators like make it known that they all like hang out at these like conferences and these brunches and things. And he said the only way to decentralize the network is to add validators who are not the same people that are already on the validator set and that don't live in the same place and put up their own stake to get onto the validator set. And that's like the opposite of what most of the Cosmos chains have set up from like an infrastructure standpoint, where you have like the top 10 validators on this chain are kind of like also like some of the top 10 validators on the next chain and the next chain and the next chain. And if you look at the total voting power across the ecosystem, there are a few validators that are light years ahead of the middle of the pack with voting power across the ecosystem. And it's decentralized in that there are separate networks, but it's really not decentralized at all from a governance standpoint. I haven't seen any proof of stake chain that's really that decentralized, to be honest. But I think that's a problem with proof of stake, is that they have a problem with setting up the network in a fair way from the start, between governance and Genesis token allocation and inflation and all that. But we don't have to talk about we can talk about fun stuff.
With what you said earlier, it is a ticking time bomb, because now chains don't, I mean, it doesn't get the airdrop share that it used to get, right? No one cares about it. So it's going to leave.
You know,
I was going to sell a month ago, and it was like $11. I'm like, I had it loose because I don't stake all my tokens anymore. And I was like, I'll just hold it. I want to make sure I sell the exact amount that offsets another transaction, so my taxes are easier, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, of course I held it. Now it's like 30% cheaper. Sucks.
You know, but you're getting away from the point, though. I understand, because I did get an awful lot of comments on a single post that I made. I'm not used to that, dude. It was weird. How does airdrops, if that's the utility of the Atom token, how do airdrops accrue value for Atom? Because it seems like we just completely sidestepped that. Is this just like the taboo thing that you're not allowed to discuss? How does Atom earn money? How does value come into organically into the Atom token? Because right now we're just talking about this is the way we use it, but none of these things suggest that this is a way for the token to organically gain value.
No, that's a speculative value that people are guessing that they're going to get a disproportionate amount of airdrops. And if everybody does that, it's kind of zero sum, right? So I don't know. I think what you're saying is right. But here's the thing: like, it's open source software that anyone can take. Like me, you, Mac, and whoever else, we could just take Cosmos tech. We could spin up our own blockchains. We could have our own IBC connections between our chains and shut out the rest of the IBC if we really wanted to. And we don't owe Atom anything. We don't owe Cosmos anything, because that software seems to be just there for anyone to take. What's going to happen when like a Citigroup or like a Walmart or someone just takes it and then makes it private, right? It's going to be another like rape job for open source.
Well, and that's honestly, look, man, I don't know your guys' positions. I don't know the positions of anybody on this that might be listening to this space. But my guess is that I have more Atom exposure than most people here. So I am incredibly concerned about this. but I'm to the point now that there is simply nothing coming out of that has anything to do with the Atom token that has me any bit interested right now. And even though I might be kind of whalish on some of these smaller tokens, I'm not on Atom, man. And I absolutely refuse to be a minnow. I am ready, completely ready to 100% clear my Atom position because I cannot sit here and be savaged. And that is simply what is happening with this validator set. I am getting farmed. All right. I'm not the guy that gets farmed. I'm the guy who farms other people. And I'm a little bit mad about this. Now, I have my favorites, obviously, because I don't know what to say, but I'm going to go Kramer on you here. I have the gift. All right. I pick the right winners and I 40 and 50 X them. But that's nothing to do with smarts, man. It just has to do with market conditions and the things at the time. I'm buying Akash at 20 cents. I'm buying Jackal at 2 cents. I bought Fetch. One of my biggest investments was actually Fetch. And I was buying all that at 6 cents. I mean, hundreds of thousands of dollars worth at 6 cents. I made videos. Nobody watched them, but I absolutely made videos. I think Bell remembers. I was having a good time. It was actually after the end of the whole SIFT chain debacle when I was just trying to recover and save anything I could. And all of that money ended up going into Fetch at 6 cents. So, you know, things work out. But I have no interest in really playing this particular game anymore, dude. I can pull percentages on lots and lots of chains. I can do this all day, but it doesn't really, I made it. So I don't really need to do that anymore, man. My entire focus is trying to just literally help other people if I possibly can by doing it in an entertainment fashion. Because look, I don't need the money. I'm good. But for some reason, you know, once you get some, you want more. I don't know what you call that, man. Human nature, maybe. So I'm branching out really, really heavily, but I've just got to get away from this, man. I've got to get away from the Atom. The bear of it is that my two other largest holdings happen to be tied into Osmo because those are the largest liquidity pools. So what Atom does, Osmo does. What Osmo does, it tanks everything else that had absolutely no real buy or sell pressure, but yet the damn thing declined by 28% overnight because Osmo took a shit. And I just, you know what, the only way you can insulate yourself from that is by going out to these smaller chains that literally can't defend themselves and extracting value from them so that you can support your longer tokens. This is the dark side of crypto. There's a reason that my channel is called the dark side of the podcast, because this is the dark side of crypto that nobody wants to talk about. For some reason, it's all, you know, unicorns, rainbows, and hopium. And everybody out here is a genius until the market takes a shit. And then all of a sudden it's well, you just got a DCA, you just got to buy, you just got to, you don't know what this is going to do in 5 years. I think I saw one of the dumbest ass posts I ever saw on there. Well, it's tech, so it's different. The way markets run, it's different because it's tech, and tech doesn't really need to accrue value. As an investor, I assure you, it needs to accrue value, or I will not be there anyway. You saw
I had someone tell me on a reply, and I was something about you shouldn't buy any investment that you're not willing to hold for 10 years. And I was like, man, in 10 years, 99% of the CoinGecko tokens will not be on the top 500, right? Like they're just not going to be there anymore. And I came into crypto in like 2017. Aside from like Tron and Ripple, there really aren't that many tokens like in the top 30 or 40 that were there, you know, not even 10 years ago. And it's all new stuff. And at the peak bull market, it'll be even more new stuff, right? Because Ethereum Classic will get knocked out of that top 20. Tron will probably get knocked out of at least top 15. It's all new stuff all the time because they're ideas, and the ideas are like, they're fun, right? They feel like you go into like a space for like this new token. You're like, oh man, this is such a good idea. Like this guy that's talking, he sounds like he knows what he's talking about. He probably read at least 3. Maybe 4 Medium articles about crypto. He's like, we're good here. Let's just keep buying this shit. Oh, it went down. Oh, I'm just going to lower my my entry. Like, I'm going to just dollar cost average. Oh, I have no more stable coins. And then it went down 80%. Like that, that's kind of, I think, what happens to a lot of people in crypto, because it's so volatile and people don't manage risk at all.
Oh, no, man. They have no concept of it. What was that hot one about 3 months ago? Zeph. Everybody was just absolutely wetting their pants over Zeph. Soon as I saw that thing, and I was driving somewhere and I was listening to one of their spaces. It was the dumbest shit that I think I've ever heard. What you have to do with Zeph is buy a bunch, put it on a laptop, and then throw the laptop in a waterproof box, but throw it in a lake for 10 years and then come back and check it. You know what, dude, you're Amway at that point. That's what you're doing, man. This thing was so clearly a stupid ass Ponzi scheme, but everybody ate it up. They just love it because you come on here and you do spaces and you get three or four guys that are all reinforcing each other. We have never done that. I'll tell you what, I'm going to give a plug for my channel because I never, ever do that. We have never brought somebody on for confirmation bias. All right. I stand by my opinion.
No, confrontation bias is what your YouTube channel is about. You want someone to argue because the opposite with you on purpose.
Oh, I would love it, dude.
You killed Eric. And then you're like, well, I have a whole bunch of the token, but I just wanted to beat you up.
Well, I mean, that's kind of the rub. You know, I started as a radio guy a long, long time ago, man. And Bell and I did politics for 10 years. It's still a hidden channel, man. We don't share that with anybody. You don't shit where you eat kind of thing, you know, and I don't want to alienate people because they might disagree with me politically. So we keep all that stuff to ourselves. But, you know, our job is to win arguments, and it could be I could argue either side, dude. I could be pro Zeph, and I'll convince an awful lot of people to buy that thing because it's such a good thing. But I have a soul as well. So I simply can't sell out to try to get somebody to make a bad decision, man. That's not me. That's not us. It's never what we've done. And the confrontation, and please understand, man, like, I'm not intentionally trying to be confrontational. I'm just pointing out propaganda. And that's really all it comes down to, because the entire crypto world just operates over here on pure propaganda. Everybody knows if you don't do this, you're stupid. You know, I mean, it's Goebbels in effect. Now, it's not new to the crypto space. This has happened as long as people have been investing. You're always going to have some asshat that's going to come up there and tell you how to spend your money if you pay him. If you give him $14.99, he'll tell you how to spend your money wisely. If he was spending his money wisely, he wouldn't need your $14.99. All right. That's chump change, man. That's nothing to him. But this is what we have out here. And in the cosmos, it is incredibly thick, because the Dow, the AA Dow, pays the right people to put out the right message. I find it interesting. I really find it interesting right now. And everyone's, I can already feel the hate coming my way. I don't give a shit. I live in this. But
I was going to say, I don't think you're going to get that much hate going here.
Well, I don't know who's listening, dude. I'm not even. This is great, by the way. I've never done a space. Why don't we do these more, Bell? My feet are up. I'm drinking booze. I don't have to keep my back straight and present like I'm on camera. This is wonderful.
This is episode one. I think we're going to be up to episode 50 before you know it.
Let's do it, man. I just find it fascinating that as Rome is burning right this fucking second, Rome is burning, and all of the people, all the Neros, all the people that are paid to talk positively about this, they're all in Dubai or wherever the hell they are right now partying. I saw Crypto Cito posting his partying pics and shit like that. You guys are paying him. You guys are literally paying him to travel the world on your dime, and you applaud every time he puts out a video on something like Pika, on some of this shit, on like Picasso. I don't even have to look at it to know that that thing is down, and it's down hard. But yet you sit there and applaud him over and over. So the only reason that I'm confrontational is because people, the truth is... It's not biased. It's objective. It's purely out there. This is what is going to happen if you continue on this path. But I don't know what it is, man. It's something about crypto that for some reason, man, the laws of economics don't seem to apply here. And this is the only space that I've ever actively and aggressively traded in where the laws of economics are simply ignored, like they don't matter. I have been on my soapbox on Juno for years. You can go. We have thousands of videos up there, but I have been up there for years saying, you can't do this. It's wrong. You're going to get buried. All I got was hate, vitriol, and just purely attack. You just don't get it. Let's take a look at Juno.
No, we don't have to look at Juno, but Juno could be the first.
Oh, no, but we're going to.
It could be the first. It could be the first blockchain where, like, 5 years from now, anybody who is staking Juno in 2021, 2022 gets one of those letters in the mail, like, you are part of a class action lawsuit against the validator set of the Juno network. Do you want to check this box and get paid your 0.0009 cents per token if we win?
Juno, man. Yeah.
I think the Juno validator set honestly should get sued by the community of stakers. But the problem is the validators probably have more stake tokens than the community, because it's like literally like a validator chain, and they just kind of airdropped. I would love to see, because I know they airdropped like 80%, right? Like 80% of their supply to Atom stakers. I would like to know who from like Core One and those validators bought a whole bunch of Atom, knowing there was going to be a snapshot that no one else knew about, got a huge Juno allocation, dumped the Atom, and then controlled the Juno chain via governance because they got an outsized drop of Atom. And all the while they could say, look, we're a community chain. We airdrop 80% of the supply. I think that would be a good research project for someone down there like Rama or Ray Raspberry. They love to go on that block explore.
Oh, Rama will dig it out, man. He's like he's just a hog rooting for truffles. And if there's malfeasance in there, that guy will find it and he will post it. It's fantastic. I'm looking at the Juno chart right now. 0.199 is where the Juno token is currently, and a $15 million market cap. Do you know what that means, Joe?
It was $3 billion.
I could literally,
I think it was like three and change.
I could literally buy the entire chain right now. Every single little ounce of liquidity that is still out there on the market, I could literally buy it, and it really will not even dent my wallet. The question is, what do I do with it? Now, we had Reese on. That's it was very good. It was a very good stream, by the way.
You had Reese on one of your streams? Reese is I'm actually jealous of Reese because I know he's a bachelor, because when he was on my YouTube channel, I could tell by the echo in his apartment that he didn't even have furniture. But I know he gets like, you know, decent salary, obviously a programmer, and he's probably just like holding a shit ton of crypto because he's not even buying furniture. But that, if I was a bachelor, that's how I'd be living.
Oh yeah, dude, you're living on peanut butter and peanut ramen, butter and crackers, and that's almond butter.
Hey, beans and rice.
Beans and rice, dude. You know, it doesn't take much to impress yourself, and anything that puts calories in you is a good thing. But I asked him two questions. It's the same questions I start all of my interviews with. That's why nobody will come on the show. I mean, we're actually stacked up through the end of the month and into May. Oh, we're going to have Lavanna on. Joe, you've got it. I'll tell you what, dude, you are more than welcome to come on. I don't know if they're paying you or not, but you are not going to want to miss this one. You should come on. We're going to have a good time. But I asked everybody this very first two questions, and for some reason, it just makes me a pariah. How much are you earning, and how much are you spending? For some reason, these seem to be very, very, very taboo subjects. But I asked Reese, and Reese, I think he was on his way out, man, so he was happy to answer him. For Juno, as his last way that he looked at it, they're earning approximately $100,000 a year. Now, I don't even know where that, I can't even dream where that $100,000 is coming from, but he said they're earning approximately, they're earning approximately $100,000 a year, and it costs them a little over $1 million to maintain their validator set. Now, anybody who is even remotely interested in investing is going to look at that and say that you are at a 10 to 1 negative, a 10 to 1 negative. I am basically giving you my money in this token so that you can pay off your validator set, because I hope maybe someday in the future you're going to develop a product that will capture value. For some reason, these are taboo questions. And for the life of me, I cannot understand.
Juno had a chance because they were like, they had multiple gambling apps on the chain. And I feel like, you know, crypto is just like rationalized anonymous gambling, you know, at its very core. It's almost like how the beginning of the internet was basically just a way to get porn without leaving your house, right? I think that crypto at its heart is gambling. There's really nothing else about it. It's anonymous gambling. Juno had some gambling apps, and if they went all in on those gambling apps, probably they could have closed that gap, but not a 10-to-1 gap. There's no freaking way.
No, and it's never going to happen. And now the fact that they have zero developers, or maybe I don't even know what they're doing. I don't even know how they're paying that developer. That's what's kind of interesting.
The dev, there's literally one. Usually like the app, like if you have like a nice little app, there's a dev, but they have a whole network and there's one dev. It's like almost like the validators on the chain aren't contributing anything from a dev standpoint. Like it's very odd. I don't know if any proof of stake chain can maintain itself without super lucky favorable price action during a bull market, and then I guess during the bear market the validators just eat it, and they I always knew that it costs money to run these networks. I always knew, but I always assumed that the validators were putting up a lot of self-stake to be part of the network. I just always assumed that. And I didn't realize that it was in the millions per year to run these networks. But I remember when I talked to Eric from AstroVault, he's like between $2 and $3 million, something like 2.5 and 3.5 million is what it costs on average to maintain these chains. And I'm guessing that that's priced in the layer one token at that time. So maybe it fluctuates wildly based on market conditions, but you can't have a validator at all on your validator set that's not contributing something else besides validating, because they shouldn't get paid to just validate, because there are no transactions to validate on the chain and there's no TVL on the chain. Really, any chain outside of like Osmosis, Injective, and I don't know, like how many chains actually have TVL? If there's no TVL, you don't even need to have more than like two validators. Like, who cares about security? No one's going to hack the chain if there's $15 on there. So,
well, and that's kind of the rub, man. But again, you're drifting into the taboo subjects that we're not supposed to talk about.
From a common sense standpoint, it would be like if you had an idea for a restaurant with like a completely new type of food that no one's ever eaten before. And instead of opening up one restaurant and making it profitable, saying, okay, people like this new kind of food, I'm going to expand outward. They just put like 65 of the same restaurant right next to each other on the same block. And then they're like, we don't understand why the prices are going down. I don't understand why no one wants to cook. I don't understand why all these tables are empty. Imagine like a whole mall filled with the same restaurant. That's kind of what the validator set is. They should be fighting over transactions. They should be providing some other service, and they could be earning a ton of money while also. And this is very idealistic, right? But I think proof of stake has this fundamental problem that they can't fix unless A, the Genesis token allocations are done perfectly, or B, they just have favorable price action. Ethereum has both, because Ethereum started off as proof of work. It doesn't matter that their tech is not as good as these modern chains. All the users are there, all the liquidity is there, USDC is there, all the apps, right, are there. And Ethereum can suck from now to the end of time, and almost no one has a chance to flip them because of that. And they, like I said, they started off as proof of work. I know they have a lot of whale wallets, but it's not as bad as it could be if it started off as
proof of stake. No, and it seems like all of these subchains, your top 50 or whatever, man, they kind of learned from it, dude. Now, if you take a look at the Cosmos is fascinating. Like the fact that there are still validators on Wawa, the fact that there are still validators on Juno. No,
that's criminal, because Wawa is paired up against tokens like Osmo. And this is part of the drain of the ecosystem, is you have this garbage paired up with tokens that the entire the ecosystem needs Osmo and Atom to perform at all costs. You can't be pairing Wawa and whatever bullshit tokens are on these other chains against those two tokens, because that's just like one more small hurdle every single time.
Well, no, and but they're going to continue to do it. And if you take a look at the validator sets, there are plenty of them that make a business out of validating. Now, they don't particularly care about the price action because they're liquidating their tokens every single day. When they come in, they are liquidating them. It's a pure drain on the chain. That's why they don't really give a shit if the price goes up or down. It doesn't matter to them. It means they didn't earn as much today, but they don't have any particular skin in the game. As soon as you look at their self-stake, it's effectively zero. Now, it's a cult of personality in crypto. So when you see something like Cosmos Station or any of these other things that are way up on top, you're like, well, hey, I want to be part of the club. So of course I'm going to validate with you. Of course I'm going to delegate to your validator. And you are paying them daily to do absolutely nothing for you. The biggest way to see it, and I really don't give a shit who gives me the business for this because I'm right. I am very, very passionate about one particular couple projects out here, but one in particular is called Jackal. We have spaces constantly, all right? Every week, there's going to be a space, it's going to be on whatever, and they're going to get in maybe 20 or 22 people. Now, if you have 100 validators that are getting paid to validate your fucking chain, for some reason, it's okay. You don't really give a shit what happens on the chain because you're getting paid because you stood up a goddamn validator. This is Cosmos-wide. Cosmos-wide.
In the summertime, it was like July. This is when I started getting more aggressive with the buying and like starting to like narrow down positions. I saw there was an informal space going on. And informal, I don't see their spaces that often. And I see the space going on and I pop in. And there were 7 people in the space. And I was like, dude, this whole fucking boat is taking on water. How is it not mandatory for every single one of their employees to attend that space? At least have your own employees there, for Christ's sakes. Any validator who got ICF money or is in any way affiliated with informal, should have been mandatory that they show up on the space. How, like to your point, most teams, they do like one space every other week on average, probably. Where's the validator set and where are all the programmers that are obviously getting paid by the inflation to work on that chain? This is the difference between Web3 and Web2, the difference between DeFi and TradeFi. They don't have that like corporate accountability urgency that makes businesses profitable. That instead, you have this like lackadaisical, like, hey, man, I'm going to wake up at 11 a.m., put on Crocs, go to the gym, and then maybe I'll go on Discord. Like, there's no work getting done. So we can't really be shocked that there's no products, aside from a few that we would probably talk about.
No, and I'm not terribly shocked, man. They've made a business out of harvesting you. They've made a business out of harvesting investors. If you cannot identify the product on your chain, you, as the investor, are the fucking product. But for some reason, we just have to pretend that that's not the case. We have to just learn to crypto. We have to just, are you new? I don't know how many of those I got on that one particular
thing. Are you new?
Man.
They're asking you that.
Because, are you new to crypto? My answer is yes. I'm brand new to crypto. Go fuck yourself.
Because you weren't in Dubai. You're not in Dubai.
Because I'm not in Dubai wearing a lanyard right now. So I'm brand new to crypto. The thing that sickens me the most about it is that these fuckers have no skin in the game whatsoever.
Yeah.
All right. I'm out here with 8 goddamn figures, dude. My ass is exposed every single day expecting you to perform, to do your fucking job, man. But it's this t-shirt and flip-flop crypto attitude that for some reason it really doesn't matter. Now, it probably doesn't to them because they have no skin in this game. Doesn't mean a shit bit to them because who cares? There'll be more money tomorrow. You have an army of people that are going to reinforce it, that are going to guilt and shame people into holding tokens, that are going to dream up narratives that, hey, yeah, but we get airdrops. They're just going to constantly do this shit while you are getting bent over day after day after day. But for some reason, I don't understand this space, dude. It's the boomer. God. I'll give you that, man, 100%. And when you call me a boomer, I'm going to call you a renter. How does that feel that you're going to spend your...
I'm proud of being a boomer because it's like, someone has to be like the sheriff or like the shopkeeper. Like, okay, guys, your break's over. Go back to work. Where to open up those fucking computers that we all paid for? and you know, drink a cup of coffee and dig into this, make us a product. I remember when I first came into Cosmos, it was like the week before Cosmoverse in Colombia. I think it was Portugal. And then the next year was Colombia. And I watched and looked, by that time I was on social media, I'm looking at all these pictures that are surfacing. And the one thing I noticed, I'm like, yo, where are all their fucking laptops? Is this a conference or is this spring break? I don't get this at all. Where are all the computers for these guys that are supposed to be building like the next generation of what's going to supplant traditional finance by eating escargot and then taking a picture of it? I don't understand what's happening on these conferences. And it's just I go to a bunch of events in and around New York City, and some people like start getting annoyed because half the dudes show up in sweatpants and like their pajamas, and it's like 7 o'clock at night, happy hour kind of place, and guys are dressed for bed. It's just it's very I don't know what to say.
Isn't that funny, dude? It's the whole Mark Zuckerberg thing. It's like, you know, yeah, but Mark did it. Yeah, but he was able to monetize. He was able to monetize his product. The fuck do you guys have, Agoric? Where exactly are you earning fucking money?
Actually, that's who organizes a lot of the things that I go to. It's Agoric.
Agoric? Yeah, man. How much Agoric? Do you own a lot of Agoric, Joe?
I didn't even
know
that.
Are you really deeply into this thing?
No, I didn't know that I had a token, actually, because the tokens are different letters than the name of the chain. I had no idea that they actually even had a stablecoin until recently.
Oh, that's going to be wonderful. What happened? Did we lost one of the speakers, man? What happened? Did we scare him off? This is not the show for I think for most people, dude. This is why we never brought it up on YouTube, man. Even though I'm dying to get you on the show, dude, just because we can do this.
I had to cancel legitimately a couple times, but I'll work it out. Next week I'm actually off work and things are dying down over here, so I'll be in touch with the prod.
Yeah, bella@thepodcast.com if you'd like to come on. By the way, if people would like us to open the phone so you could tell me I'm full of shit, dude, I'm more than welcome. We have the technology because we do it when we do our giveaways, is caller number 5 gets the money. So yeah, man, we're more than happy to do that. But
I gotta say, yeah, dude, look, product, man, there's a good product in Cosmos, but I don't think it's going to do well just because of, it's just not, like a fish out of water. Is that, you know, Cosmos has its own version of pump.fun. It's called nfa.zone, right? And you could launch meme coins, liquidity pools get set up, and then people can gamble and chop each other's heads off as the token the token has a 24-hour life cycle. But the reason why meme coins do well on Solana and they don't really do well anywhere else is because Solana has liquidity on the chain. This is going to be really tough for people to listen to, I think, but Solana is up like 10, 12, 15x at any given time from its market lows. Solana has DeFi protocols and lots of NFT activity. People are making money on the chain. So then they could put, you know, some side bets into these meme coins, where like other ecosystems like Cardano and Neutron and Injective, I'm actually surprised Injective can't do it, but I mean, you need liquidity on the chain to actually pump these meme coins. Otherwise they go up for like 6 hours and they crash back down to zero. And that's not fun. It's more fun if they go up like 100x.
Yeah, dude, wouldn't that be great, man?
There needs to be money, like besides your money, there needs to be other people's money, because it's zero sum and somebody's going to get killed so you can make your 3, 4, 5x in a day. And that other person needs to have the same amount of money as you, and they need to bid your tokens up. It's impermanent loss, basically. It's like weaponized impermanent loss.
Yeah, that's why I can't swim on those things, dude. I'm not going to put in $100, all right? It's not a brag, dude. It's not a lot of money for me.
Then you're looking at charts of a token with like $43,000 in market cap with 29 holders. You're looking at it on like a 1 minute chart on trying to figure out, hey, is this a trend line? Is this like an upside down middle finger pattern? I don't know.
Now, and look, man, I'm not to say that I'm not coming out here just saying Cosmos is dead. I believe innovation is. There's nothing coming out that I am even remotely interested in. The new thing people are starting to chat about it again is Ellis. This is the team that brought you SiftChain, that rugged every fucking person out there, and people are applauding them again. That this is what they're doing right here.
That's the SiftChain. I couldn't use SiftChain, but I know that
same team, dude. Absolutely the same team. I
believe you.
I guarantee you. They pitched me. They asked me for $1 million, and I was like, "Well, you took double that from me on SiftChain, so why don't you just use that, buddy?" No, dude, it's the exact same team, the same people up and down. I see Bella's listening right now, and I could hear her hackles going up from here, dude. It was brutal, but yeah, it's the same team that brought you SiftChain, but for some reason this time it's different. This time we learned from the last time. This time it's going to be better. It's going to be better for them. It's always good for builders. All right. All time is good for builders because they're paid in fucking tokens, yep, and they liquidate the goddamn tokens on your fucking head. It's always a goddamn good time for builders.
I had this conversation with Tank. I said, no matter what, there's always money to build infrastructure that no one uses. Like, it'd be like if you were just building endless highways that go nowhere. You're going to pay whoever supplies the asphalt. You're going to pay whoever supplies the trucks. You're going to pay the guys who lay down the road. That money never comes back if nobody drives on the road and pays the toll. And that's really that's what horizontal scaling is in crypto, right? It's just, you're building infrastructure that probably no one's ever going to use. You got to pay for it up front.
Oh, yeah, man. If you want to see a fun calculation, calculate the amount of blocks that are being produced in Cosmos with nothing on them.
I look at it sometimes because when I'm bored. I look at asset mantle. I look at persistence. I look at all these. I was looking at Crescent for a while. I look at LUM. I look at all the blockchains, and I try to see who could have the most consecutive blocks with no transactions.
You know what's funny, dude, is that I'm literally sitting here begging to fund a project. All right. I got the funds. Nobody wants to work for me. You definitely do not want to work for me because I'm the guy who's going to call you up and say, what the fuck did you do today? All right. You worked about 2.5 hours. Fine. We're going to pay you for about 2.5 hours.
This is like reverse, reverse Shark Tank. There's no one that wants to work in.
No, man, they want to go to Dubai, dude. They want to eat caviar and sushi. It's sushi in Dubai, by the way. That's funny as hell to me. They want to go over shit. And they want to post pictures of themselves having good dinners and just rubbing your fucking face in it as you're down 35% over the goddamn weekend. And for some reason, you're supposed to celebrate this. You're supposed to say thank you. Thank you, builders, for building the future, for building another dev tool that nobody will fucking use, for building another parking lot that nobody's going to build on because there's no fucking innovation over here.
I think that's when the market started to sell off.
Because I can't.
There were two events that actually triggered this giant sell-off. And most people that are listening, you probably don't know because you're probably a bad trader. But two things that happened that triggered the sell-off. Number one, I put a leveraged long on ETH like probably 3 hours before the whole thing sold off. And then between that 3 hours and the market sell-off, the first set of Crocs touched down in Dubai for this like rave party thing. And that was all it took. And then we have a 30% sell-off.
Yeah, but don't worry, dude, because airdrops are coming. All you gotta do is buy, hold, and stake the token, and you're gonna make it all back in airdrops. How gullible are people?
I know, I got a better one. We're gonna decrease the amount of time to unbond us stake tokens by a day.
Who would stake in this market, man? Now, I've heard all the arguments.
Jackal's the only token I stake 100% of what I've got.
All of my Jackal is 100% staked. All of my AXV is 100% bonded with something. Actually, it's most of it is in the farms right now. I can't take the IL.
Yeah, I'm farming. I don't want to lose upside.
Nah, the only real LPs I'm in, and I'm sad to say it, is Adam AXV, not because of AXV, but because of fucking Adam. And Jackal and USDC are probably my big, and Jackal because there's no IL there. But Yeah, it's I don't know what better way to say it, man. Like, I'm in the projects that I'm in the cosmos, but I have no interest in anything else out here. If you cannot see that you are being farmed, I can simply not help you. All right. There's nothing that I'm going to do that is going to possibly change your mind. But that's the whole, again, dude, that's the whole crypto attitude out here, man. As long as there are lots of us making bad decisions, then it's a good decision. For some reason, it counters it. If there's 1,000 people making a bad decision, then it's clearly a good decision because there's so many of us.
I feel like people like you look at crypto Twitter and it seems like a lot of people are like really making money. You're like, it's only a matter of time before I make money as long as I just keep buying these shit coins on Solana, right? But you have like a 1 in 10 chance of doing a 5X. Those are not good odds. So that's bad EV. And I think that's pretty much what the odds are for a lot of these plays. You got to be in the right place at the right time, but you also have to actually sell, which is hard to do. People get emotionally attached to their tokens because there's no product to line up side by side with competitors.
Boy, that's, I'm showing up as muted here, dude. Can you hear me? Am I going up?
I can hear you. I'm having a little bit of trouble. I see people requesting mic and I can't tell who it is. I think it's
okay. Well, put them on, dude.
I'll make you a co-host. Maybe you could help, but I'm trying to put them on a couple times.
I see the speaker here. I need Bella for this, dude. I don't do this shit, all right? I just talk into the microphone. Bella handles everything, all right? This is the relationship that I have with my producer. She takes care of this shit so it doesn't happen to me. I'm showing myself as muted. I have no idea if I'm going out. For anybody who might be attending, am I going out? Can you hear Scott? Can you hear me at all, man?
I can hear you, but I think Bella actually has the mic, but it's showing up as she's a listener for me.
I have no idea, man. Look, I thought, did you set this at 8 o'clock for 1 hour and now we're offline?
No.
Bell, give me.
We could go a little further. We could go like 5, 10 more minutes. It won't be a big deal. No one's going to listen to this anyway. That's not already in the room.
Well, dude, I can go forever and ever. This is the things that people, particularly the young investors, should listen to. Look, man, I've been through it. Joe has been through it, man. We've been through the ringer before. What we're trying to do is point out that there is a little bit of economic reality that exists in crypto, and ignoring it is not going to do you any favors, man. This is Allegory of the Cave stuff. Now, Joe, are you familiar with the Allegory of the Cave?
Yes, I am.
I know you're a teacher.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm assuming you've read your Plato.
Was that the Republic? I had to read a bunch of those.
Plato's books. Absolutely, sir. It was Plato's Republic. And crypto exists in the cave, meaning that we cast shadows on the wall and the people who are chained to the wall assign their own reality to it. And because that's all they know, that is simply the absolute fact. And not only will they fight to prove that it's right, they will fight to the death to prove it's right because they don't want to know anything different. They simply don't. Now, this works very, very well. This whole idea works extremely well for people that are validating chains or for people who are building or all of the other bullshit that's out here, because they don't really give a shit what the price does. The only people who feel the hurt out here are the people who invest in these chains and expect them to perform in any way, shape, or form. I don't want to pull up the entire Cosmos validator chain, meaning everything that's out here, dude, because there are so many chains. For God's sakes, I think Sift Chain still has an RPC up. I think that chain might still be tradable, man. But between like that shit and Crescent and all that stuff, I want you guys to take a good, long, hard look at Crescent for those of you who are not familiar with it, because that is what proof of work and liquid staking and not having any kind of value accrual is going to get you buried, absolutely buried. It's just a matter of time. So yeah, man, I hope
I got Bella up here. Actually, I had to invite her as a co-host. I think Twitter just changed where the buttons are a little bit. It's a little buggy, but I think we're good, Bella.
Twitter is just being dumb and Elon hates me.
He actually said that. I remember he tweeted that out. He deleted the tweet right after, but I saw it.
Did you get screenshots? Because that would be epic.
I have a better screenshot than that, actually, but I'll send it to you. Both you guys, after this, you'll both laugh.
I'm trying really hard to be casual about this. I've lost $90,000 since this space started, dude. All right. Like, there is absolutely dick I could do about this right now, man. The people who are happiest are the people who are validating my chains, man. I'm sorry. Go.
You know what, Scott? That's what you get for dropping that foul, foul language.
Oh, you know what? It's Twitter, horrible. Though, man.
On YouTube?
It's allowed to happen over here, right?
No, tonight he dropped two words that are horrible, awful, freaking foul. They should be forbidden. He needs to put money in the swear jar because he dropped them again.
I'm thinking that was Sifchain and Ellis. So were those the naughty words?
Yes, you're absolutely correct. And there's another $200 that you've got to put in the jar.
I'll pay you. Don't worry about it. I'm doing okay. I'll maintain it.
But before we wrap this up, I have some questions actually for you guys that maybe other people are wondering that only YouTube can answer. That's cool.
For us? Oh, okay.
Yeah. Are you guys married?
Nope.
No.
All right. So then
we've been friends for many, many years and broadcasting for a very long time.
Okay. Because if you said yes, I was going to ask, how do you not fight on the air? And then but you said no, so I want to know, probably for like me and a couple others here, how are you allowed to have female friends?
Because I'm a fully grown male adult that can control himself. I don't understand the question.
I'm just joking.
Elaborate on it a little bit. If you don't think we fight, dude, you're not listening into my right earpiece, because she gives me the business on every fucking show. When you see me pause for like a long period of time and just kind of stare off like I'm gathering my thoughts, she's usually yelling at me about something I said or didn't say. It's maddening, but you know what? You do what you got to do.
Probably helpful on a live stream.
You know what? I don't know, man. Sometimes
I only have my chat and it's on like a 30-second delay. So that's not that helpful.
Oh, look, I just lost another $2,000, Joe. This is great, man. We should do this.
Who's the biggest culprit for you in your portfolio? Like who's crushing you in your portfolio right now?
Who's crushing me right now? Osmo. Osmo is crushing me. I don't own any. I don't even own any. You know what? I own like $5,000 worth, dude. And it's currently worth $4,632. But don't worry, man. They're in Dubai, dude. They're gonna save everything. No, Osmo is crushing me because for some reason, again, it's an economic reality that we tend to ignore out here. The fact that everything is paired with Osmo. There's a reason I want out of this, the entire cosmos, man, because you have children that are out there running Osmo that don't seem to care. You have a world of an army of mouthpieces that are going to tell you, you simply do not understand. While I watch my money go down day after day after day, dude, 3, 4, 5 months ago, Osmo was at 32 cents, 32 goddamn cents. Now, at that point, even the cartel, and yes, they are fucking real. Even the cartel realized, shit, we can't maintain this. So a whole bunch of money was infused in it. They ran the token up. Now suddenly BlackRock, oh, we're going to add them to the ETF. And everybody got excited. It spiked to $1.80 and it's currently sitting at about 90 cents. Look, man, this is not normal for any kind of realistic investment. 50 cent swings. All right. 50% swings in 3 months is not normal. It's not something that you want to be strongly invested in, but unfortunately in the cosmos, every goddamn thing is paired with Osmo.
Yep.
So when Adam takes a shit, Osmo takes a shit, and it pulls down everything. Everything. This is fact. So we can have as much fun as we want talking about, yeah, but just wait. Yeah, but just wait is fine until you have seven and eight figures that are tied into this bullshit. And after you're in that point, the only thing that you're doing is looking to exit. I am looking to exit. I will hold Jackal. I will hold a cash and everything else is dust. I will burn it. I can't do it right now because this is not anybody in particular's fault, man. This is Iran shooting missiles at Israel. But when I can get even relatively close to pulling it back, I'm going to clear all my positions. And I promise you, the eight people who are listening to this, you will notice when I clear my positions. I would do anything to have them do the right thing, but they're simply not going to, man. It's too much fun to party. It's too much fun to go everywhere else. It's too much fun to dream up NFTs and all this other silly bullshit, as opposed to actually building a product that people want.
I want to close on this. This might actually put everyone to bed, like, in a good mood, or maybe not. I've been on Twitter like pretty much 24/7 for like the last year, and then before that, like 12 hours a day. And one thing I've never seen, I see a lot of like founders and developers put out that tweet when they leave a project and go to another tweet, like, oh, you know, I've been working here for so long. The last 7 months of my life have been great. I've been working here like as hard as I can, one day a week for 7 months, but now it's time to step away and I'm going to go work over here. I never see a tweet where they're, and every token holder thinks that their token's devs are the best devs. Right? It was like, oh, we have the best devs. We have the best devs. I never saw a tweet that said, I'm stepping away from my job at Juno because I got a huge job offer from Cisco, or I got a huge job offer from NASA. Like, I've never seen that. I've never, ever seen that. And one of the things that I say, the reason why a lot of these people work in Web3 is because they could never, ever, ever get a job in Web2. And you have to set alarm clocks. You have to show up at a specific place. A lot of the time, you get told what to do. Your boss is probably results oriented to a certain degree. And I think like more than 50% of the people in this space are in this space because this is the last place where they're employable, even with the skills they have. I would say that's the number's probably 50%.
Because they don't want to wear something with a logo on their shirt
or put
and
socks,
because they like to wear flip-flops or no shoes whatsoever, and most offices are just, you know, morally against.
Yeah, but you know what?
Morally against.
I hold that token, and our devs are the best devs. We have the best fork of Uniswap that you've ever seen in your life over here with this token. This token is better than the Uni token because our devs are better than the Uniswap devs. Best devs.
Yeah, well, welcome to crypto. Hey, I got a separate question here. Yeah, this sure has nothing to do with anything. Can you hear this right now?
Yeah.
Yeah. A little loud.
Does it actually come across?
Yeah.
Because if it does, dude, we could have the coolest Twitter space ever, because I can add in all my sound effects because I hit B2.
There's built-in sound effects. Banana. You know, what kind of phone do you have? There's built-in sound effects. I think only iPhone.
What kind of phone? I'm not on a goddamn phone, dude. You know what I use my phone for? Calling people and talking to them. The only thing I'm really missing here is say, Bell, do we have any questions? Dude, that's so ingrained in me right now,
man. I think it's funny because all the engagement now is on Twitter, it seems like, where I sit. But almost no one engages on Twitter spaces other than the people that plan the Twitter space. Whereas like last cycle, I feel like Twitter spaces, there were, every time you looked up, there were 12 speakers and you could hear people chiming in, maybe changing the subject from time to time, but asking questions that obviously the hosts are not going to think of, because I can't think of good questions all the time. And this time around, the last like year I've been doing spaces, almost nobody will come up to take the mic. So my guess is no one's really listening. I think that's, people just want to read and reply to tweets angrily. I don't think anyone wants to actually engage. So that's why I don't think we're close to a full swing bull market, because those people that actually want to engage, do research and all, they're not here yet. This is all meme coin weirdos and people that are snake bitten from the bear market that are still hanging around. That's all people like me.
I lost $3.1 million over the last 3 days. All right. And you want to talk to me? Oh, it's the bull market. Don't worry, dude. Look, I don't get my advice from Twitter. Right. I don't get investment advice from Twitter. But, you know, we do continue to do outreach. Look, man, I don't need this. Bell doesn't need this. We're fine. But it's not the point, man. The point is that if there's not a contrasting if there's not a contrasting voice coming out. By the way, Joe, I'm pretty sure you just put a big ass target on your back if anybody goes back and listens to this. Listening. So welcome to my world, dude. All right. Welcome to my world, dude. I've been the evil bitch out here for a long time. I'll continue to do it. But yeah, it's just you're up against the wall here, man. People want to live the dream. Crypto is the dream. Crypto is the 400x, you know, the 400x overnight on some bullshit meme coin. Never even acknowledging the fact that you just buried everybody under you. For some reason, we don't ever talk about that. We don't talk about the fact that if you want to earn well, you're going to have to bury somebody unless you have a token that will generate organic growth. We don't talk about that. There's a reason that we're in projects.
The AMM nature, because there are no real buyers and sellers. You're trading with a pool, right? So no one's buying your tokens. They're just going into a ditch. And that's why the prices swing so much partially. If they were only limit orders, a lot of these tokens would have zero economic activity.
Because nobody's going to buy into a sell, no. Man. That's it. That's funny, dude. I put that out today. I said, don't buy into a sell-off. And some reason that made everybody's hackles go up. It's like, oh, no, I buy into sell-offs all the time. Great. Then you're going to be fucking broke. All right, it's just a matter of time, man. You're gonna be broke. Look, dude, I know we're over time, man. I know everybody.
That's right. I want Bell to take us out at the end when you're done. I want it to be like
we will. But look, hey, I'm asking you for a personal favor. All right, sure. I want you on my stream tomorrow night. I know your kids. It's gonna be rough. If you could arrange
tomorrow night, I could actually swing it. I could swing it tomorrow.
I need it, dude, because look, Chris is going to be on. He's talking about NFT Fight Club. This is not my wheelhouse, dude. All right, so I'm more than happy to. I'm more than happy to capitulate to an NFT project.
Oh my god.
Yes, you do. I'm more than happy to capitulate to an NFT expert as opposed to myself, who is certainly not.
I'm the furthest.
We want to bring value to anybody who tunes in. We want to bring value. I don't think I'm the guy to do that. I think you are. So, yes, I'm basically handing over the reins.
Chat. I'll talk to Bella and I'll make it happen. I'll do what I got to do on my end. Because I definitely.
Please do, because that'll.
I was supposed to go on your show the 23rd or the 26th, and it was.
Yeah, and you fucked me.
Oh, my God. All right. I'll make it.
Yeah, you did. I was sitting there, me and Bell are sitting there waiting on Zoom. Joe will be here any minute. Joe was never fucking showed up. You know what a pivot I had to do on that?
That
you
is dick? Not how that
I don't
happened.
Think that's what happened.
Exactly how I remember.
That's not how that happened.
I gave 4 hours.
That's how I remember it. It doesn't matter what really happened, Ben. It's matter of how I remember it. All right. Look, I'm all done, Joe. You good to go here?
I'm good. I want Bell to take us out like professional style, like
there you go. Bell, if W-R-U-G you could please talk us up.
Radio.
Take us up.
All right. Again, ladies and gentlemen, for those of you who joined us this evening to listen to this episode one Twitter space, we cannot say thank you guys enough. We are going to be back on when, Joe?
To be determined.
Tomorrow night, dude. I just said it. Man.
Oh, yeah. On your
God.
Man. Hey. I was actually focusing on the space, Scott, but thank you. Joe is going to be joining us on the podcast live tomorrow evening at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. In between now and tomorrow, if you guys have any comments, questions, or concerns, definitely don't hesitate to reach out. I'll go ahead and field those emails. So email me at bella@thepodcast.com and we'll get those answered for you. Again, until tomorrow night, take care, guys.
I can't end the stream.
Motherfucker screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of trash is under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play, ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Motherfuckers walking around here looking faceless, trying to make a living selling friendship bracelets. Dead ends dragging out the max amount of payments. Red down days got them acting all bankless. Yo fam, what? Check these tokenomics. They probing this bear, flexing broken honest. I had to lay my soul down, I'm just roasting otters. And then to end a long day, 11 bowls of chronic. Never
never known a politic. I was born to frolic. It's been my policy to pollinate all over the plot. We got a lot of apologists jumping in at the top. We like to measure their velocity before they hit rock bottom. Over impossible loss, it's all moss, and I'm liking the odds. Fondue in the morning, forming mycological bonds. Flick the cap, though the road is highly involved. Flip a coin, diary falls. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the furbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play. Ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Trying to figure out the max amount of dinner lace, stacked in non-toxic just to get a better place. Smacking on the hostage like this shit is play for keeps. Clowns, white knight, and all these Maybellines. They call it implausible when model after model keeps on ripping off the coat and going full throttle. Beats tearing apart your community. All these low-hanging fruits bearing zero liquidity. Got a planet in reach, coming standard to each. I'm on the back 10, stargazing after the siege. Commanding all the management to grab a few seats, and then we'll round up the beasts and send a messenger east. Y'all better sign a release when I'm bumping these beats. Hands up if I got motherfuckers drumming the streets. Yo, we got a few dubs, we got a couple defeats, and if you're coming for the king, you better have some of each. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the verbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play. Ring around the rosy while the thunder is served.
Channel Spaces.